Open in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we'll be reading from that passage in a moment. But it's a wonderful privilege to be able to come together with fellow saints, brothers and sisters in Christ, to offer our hearts in worship unto God this morning. As we've sung these songs and prayed and partook of the Lord's Supper in remembrance of our Lord. Just a wonderful privilege to be able to be with you. Now, thank you for being here this morning. And those of you who are visiting, we're glad that you've come to be with us. If you ask me what is one of the greatest threats to the welfare of our nation, one of the things that I would mention is greed. But even worse than that, it is a major threat to the welfare of God's people, the church. You know, when people begin to focus their attention on making more and more money and surrounding themselves with more and more things, possessions, to enjoy this life, then their spiritual health starts to decline. Jesus gives us an ample warning of this here in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 19 to 21. And I want us to look at what Jesus says in this passage. The title of the lesson this morning is The Problem of Greed. And Jesus says here, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Notice he says here, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." You know, generally people are laying up treasures on earth for themselves, really. When we lay up treasures here upon this earth, it is generally for ourselves. Now, it's true that we may leave some of it for our children. But when we lay up treasures, it is generally for ourselves. For our needs, our enjoyment, our pleasures. Maybe not for the present, but for our enjoyment in the years to come. And that is a problem, or can be a problem, that I want us to look at and I want us to talk about and develop this morning. You know, a perfect illustration of the problem that I'm talking about is the rich young ruler that Jesus talks about. Luke chapter 12, not rich young ruler, but the rich farmer that Jesus talks about in his parable in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. Look at the context of this passage before we look at verses 16 through 21. Here Jesus is speaking to the multitudes. Well, the multitudes had come and he was speaking to his disciples, indicated in verse 1. It says then in verse 13 of Luke chapter 12, "And one of the crowd said to him, one from the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.'" And so there was a problem in this family where evidently a father may have died and the inheritance were to go to the children. And one brother, it seems, maybe was taking more of the inheritance than the other. At least this brother felt like that he was not receiving the inheritance that fell to him. And so he wanted Jesus to decide in this matter. Well, Jesus was not a judge concerning this. He says in verse 14, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" In other words, I'm not in that position to judge about this matter, about this inheritance. But what he did see was a problem in the heart of this man. He saw covetousness, greed in his heart. He saw that this man was more concerned about the inheritance than he was his brother. And so he took the opportunity to talk to him about this problem of greed or covetousness. And he said to him in verse 15, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Now you might think, well, if he wasn't getting his inheritance, he had the right to fight for that inheritance. Well, Jesus saw, if that's what he's really concerned about, is fighting for his inheritance, then he's got a problem with covetousness. And so he taught him a lesson about that. Don't, he says, beware of covetousness. And he spoke this parable which is the parable of the rich farmer. And he says here, the ground of a rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So he who lays up treasure for himself, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I want you to notice, as this man made some decisions about his plentiful crop, notice the personal pronouns, I and my, throughout this. What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. I will store all my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, and he thought he had a lease on life. He was going to be able to enjoy all of these goods for many years to come. Notice how that he is surrounded by himself. And in his deciding what to do about his material goods, it was all about himself. And Jesus said here that he's a fool. God calls him a fool. Because this night, he says, your soul is required of you. In other words, you're going to die. And these things that you have provided, who shall they be? Whose will they be? They're not going to go with you, because when we die, we cannot take them with us. And then Jesus says, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. That's the person who's laying up treasure for himself. In other words, I want all of these things so that I can enjoy life, so that I can have pleasures, so that when I retire, I can do this and that and the other. I'm laying them up for myself. You know, sometimes we talk about the American dream. What is the American dream? If the American dream is to make a reasonable living by which we can live reasonably comfortable, maybe owning our own home, owning our own transportation, nothing wrong with that. But I'm afraid that the American dream has become more than that. I'm afraid that the American dream has come to mean to live in luxury and pleasure, to have all that not only we need, but all that we want. And I'll say to you that if that is the American dream, then the Christian must have nothing to do with it. If that is my goal, is to have these things, the material things of life, so that I can enjoy life, that's my goal in life, that's my dream in life, then I am laying up treasures for myself. And that's what Jesus is saying, do not do here upon this earth. Notice what happens to those treasures on earth. He says, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Something we need to realize is that when we do that, we lay up for ourselves treasures upon earth that we can lose them. You know, in the day that Jesus was speaking this, that was the danger in the first century. If they laid up treasures for themselves, there were moths that could destroy it. There were thieves who could break in and steal. Rust could destroy your possessions. What is the danger in our day? Well, the stock market may crash. There may be inflation that diminishes the value of our goods. Or there's the collapse of the government. And that can happen. And we then lose it all. We can have it today, and then tomorrow it is gone. The Bible, you know, talks about the uncertainty of riches. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, it says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Yes, these riches are uncertain. We can have them today, and tomorrow they're gone. They will not secure our future. These things will not really bring fulfillment in life. We think they will. That's the promise they give us. But we come to realize they don't. And so they're uncertain. We can have them today, and then tomorrow tomorrow they're gone. And so Jesus is saying, lay not up for yourselves treasures here upon this earth, for moth and rust do destroy, thieves break in and steal. And since we're not to lay up for ourselves treasures on earth, someone, though, then may be asking, does this mean that we must not save up for a rainy day or for our retirement, that it would be wrong to save up then for the retirement? Well, no, I don't think that's what Jesus is saying here. Have you ever heard, maybe in your study of Scripture, of a construction known as the not-but construction? Some may call them not-but passages. Well, this is one of them. Notice he says here, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. When you see that construction, many times what the writer and the speaker is trying to tell us is where we need to place our focus. And what he is saying here is, do not lay up for yourself treasures upon the earth. Don't make that the priority in your life. Don't make that your focus in life. But what you need to make your focus in life is your treasures in heaven, laying up treasures in heaven. Look with me at some examples of where we find this construction in other passages. Look in John 6. This is after Jesus had fed the 5,000. And the next day they came to seek Him because He had fed 5,000 people. They had all they wanted to eat. And Jesus said to them when they found Him the next day, most assuredly I say to you, you seek Me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him. Is Jesus saying here, do not labor, period? Complete prohibition to labor for the food which perishes? Well, we know that's not what He's saying. We know that in another passage, He teaches that if a man does not provide for his own, he has denied the faith, and he's worse than an unbeliever. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. And we know that if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. So sure, Jesus is not saying that we're not to labor for our food, for our material things. But He does say, do not labor for the food which perishes. But He says, labor for the food which endures under everlasting life. And so this is not a total prohibition to laboring for our food. But what Jesus is telling us, He's telling us where our focus is to be. The focus in our life is not to be laboring for material food that perishes, but our focus in life needs to be laboring for that food which endures into everlasting life. He's emphasizing where your focus needs to be in life. Look with me at another passage. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Peter is addressing wives. And he says in verse 3, whose adorning, this is from the American Standard Version, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of braiding the hair and of wearing jewels of gold or putting on apparel. Let me just stop here and say, in the New King James Version, which is I normally read from, it says that let not it be merely the outward adorning. The word merely in the New King James Version is in italics, which means it was inserted by the translators. And then it says, adorning of braiding of the hair, of wearing jewels of gold, or of putting on fine apparel. And the word fine, if you'll notice in the New King James Version, it's in italics. And that means the translators inserted that. Really what the Greek is saying is, if Peter is saying, do not, let it not be the outward adorning of braiding the hair or wearing jewels of gold or putting on apparel. Is that a total prohibition to doing these things? Someone says, is it wrong then to braid hair? Is it wrong then to put on any jewelry whatsoever? Well, if that be the case, it would also be wrong to put on apparel. Because that's what he's saying. Don't let it be the putting on of apparel. Well, we know where to put on apparel. What the Lord is saying here is don't make that your focus. Your outward beauty Your focus should not be on your outward beauty, on your outward appearance. But, he says, let it be the hidden man of the heart in the incorruptible apparel of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Notice the not but construction. He is saying where we need to place, where this woman needs to place her emphasis. It's not in her outward beauty. The emphasis of our lives is not to be on the outward appearance, but the emphasis should be on adorning the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible apparel of a meek and quiet spirit. One other example. Look in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17. Paul says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect." Is Paul saying that he was not sent to baptize at all? Well, we know that's not true because he states in the verses just prior to this, he had baptized Crispus and Gaius, I believe it was. He had baptized the household of Stephanus. And so we know that he had baptized some. But what he is saying is that this was not the primary focus of his mission. God did not send him. Jesus did not send him to physically administer baptism. And that's what he's talking about. He was concerned about his administering of baptism because some may have thought that he baptized in his own name. But the Lord did not send me to physically administer baptism, he says. What was the primary focus of his mission? Well, it was to preach the gospel. And that's where he is. His emphasis was in the mission. Not that he never baptized, physically baptized people. And so back here in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, where Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon the earth," he's not saying for us not to labor for material things. And he's not saying that it's wrong even to save for the future. But he's saying where our emphasis is to be is not on laying up the material things. That's not where our focus needs to be in life. But our focus needs to be in laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. That which is secure, that which will not pass away. And by the way, other passages teach that it is appropriate to save up for the future. Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise." What's one thing she does? She saves up for the winter, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer, and gathers her food in the harvest. This is also stated in Proverbs 30, verse 25. "The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer for the future." They can have that for the future. Proverbs 21 and verse 20. "There is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it." So what's a wise man do? Well, he uses what he makes in a wise and prudent way by saving up some. He has it there, doesn't squander it, doesn't waste it. And that can involve preparing or saving up for the future. You remember in Genesis 41, we don't have this on the screen, we've been studying in the book of Genesis of when Joseph interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh that there would be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And what did Joseph advise Pharaoh to do? He advised Pharaoh to, during the 7 years of plenty, to take one-fifth of the produce and to store it up, to save it, so that they would have for the 7 years of famine. And that was a good thing. And that's a good thing for us to save up for the rainy day. And there's nothing wrong with that in saving up for retirement. But what is your primary focus in life? Is it just to enjoy life and to save it up so that you can enjoy life? Well, that's what Jesus is saying do not do in this passage. Do not make that your primary goal. You know, each of us should be asking himself, which is the focus of my life? Storing up material riches on earth or storing up riches in heaven? What is my primary goal in life? You know, as you think about this, consider the early Christians and the example of the early Christians. Didn't early Christians own lands and houses and possessions? Well, they did. Why did they own them? Well, they owned them to live, but no doubt they owned them maybe for retirement, for the future, so that they could have these things for the future. But when their brothers and sisters in Christ became in destitute need, what did they do with those lands and those houses? It says here in Acts chapter 4, verse 34 and 35, "Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed each as anyone had need." You see, those lands and houses were not the focus of their life. They were willing to sell those lands and houses for their brethren when there became a destitute need and their brethren had a need. Then they were willing to sell those lands and those houses in order to meet that need, because those lands and houses were not their primary focus. Yes, I may have savings for retirement. I may have saved up, and I have maybe a good nest egg off to the side. But you know, the day may come when my brethren are in destitute need. They don't have enough to live on. Where's my focus? See, my focus is not on my retirement. But my focus is on doing God's will. And that may mean I then take that money out, or I sell those lands and houses in order that I might do what is the right thing in helping those who have that destitute need. Why do I give, or rather work? Why do I go to my job and work every day? Someone says, well, I do that in order to provide for myself and my family. And that's right. But I want you to notice what Paul said here in Ephesians 4 and verse 28. "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good." Why? "That he may have something to give him who has need." See, our primary focus is not just on ourselves and on me getting what I need and what I want, but it's on what I can do to help others. And that's what Jesus is telling us here in Matthew chapter 6. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth." This is not about me. Yes, I need the things of this life, and I need to save up for the future. But that's not all about me. I'm willing to give that up in order that I may do the will of the Lord and serve Him and help others. But notice he says, lay up here, back in Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. He says, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Don't make that your focus. "But lay up for yourselves treasures on earth." Notice, first of all, he says, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Treasures in heaven. I want to make the point here, and this may not be the primary point Jesus is trying to make, but it is in Scripture. This is the only person for whom I can lay up treasure in heaven, is myself. When I lay up for myself treasure in heaven, it is only for myself. I cannot lay up treasure in heaven for my wife or for my children. I can only lay up treasures in heaven for myself. As much as a father would like to share his heavenly treasures with his children, we would love to do that. We can't do it. I cannot. Those treasures I've laid up, I cannot share that with my children. Because each person is accountable for his own actions. We understand that from other passages, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Each of us will give an account for the things he's done in this life. Romans 2 and verse 6 says that God will render to each one according to his deeds. We'll each give an account of the things we have done in this life. And so, I'm only laying up treasures in heaven for myself, and you are for you. Well, how do we lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven? Well, in terms of money, I believe when we give to the needy, we're doing that. Matter of fact, the Bible emphasizes the importance of this. If you notice in Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16, therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. But do not forget to do good and to share. So much sharing our material things. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You know, when we offer the fruit of our lips of praise to God, we're offering sacrifices. But He is also saying that when we share our material things for others, with others, those who have need, we're also offering sacrifices which are well-pleasing unto God. We're laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven when we offer those sacrifices. Look in 1 Timothy 6, in verses 17 through 19. Paul tells Timothy to command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Now notice, let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. See, when they give of their means, of their possessions for others, then they're storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come of when they stand before Christ in judgment. They're storing up. They're laying up for themselves treasures in heaven. So that when they stand before Christ in judgment, what will they lay hold on then? Eternal life. They'll be able to enjoy those treasures that they have laid up then in heaven. So he's emphasizing the importance of using our material things for others, to share that with others. But also, when we give on the first day of the week for the work of the church, and the work that we're engaged in of carrying the gospel out to those that we can carry the gospel to, supporting preachers, the edification of the church so that we'll grow in the Lord and be what God wants us to be and be the shining light in this community. When we give, we're promoting that work and we're laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And you know, anything that we do in the Lord's service is laying up treasures in heaven. You know, as you work and serve, in whatever capacity you serve as a Christian to promote His cause, to help others come to Christ, to help a brother grow in the Lord, to help them when they're in financial needs, whatever it is, you are laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I think about Dorcas in Acts chapter 9. She died. She was a Christian. But notice what it says in verse 36 of Acts 9. I don't have this up on the screen. He says, at Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. And you remember what happened. She died. They call for Peter, and Peter comes. And when Peter comes, it says in verse 39, beginning at the middle part of verse 39, it says, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. Can you picture the scene? Peter comes in, Dorcas has died, and there those who loved her and appreciated her are weeping, and they're showing Peter these garments and tunics and things that Dorcas had made, all the good deeds that she had done for others, to help others. What was she doing? What was Dorcas doing in her life? Laying up for herself treasures in heaven. That's what she was doing. As she was doing these good and charitable deeds. Look with me here in 2 Timothy 1. I do have this one up. There was a man by the name of Onesiphorus that Paul makes reference to. He says, the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. Onesiphorus was laying up for himself treasures in heaven. How? Well, by ministering to Paul, refreshing him. When he came to Rome, where was Paul? Well, Paul was in chains. Paul was imprisoned. But he zealously sought him out to find him. He's not ashamed of Paul's chains because he wanted to minister to Paul. whatever service we may render, whatever service we may render in the Lord's kingdom, in promoting His cause and helping others promote His cause, helping others have the things they need in life, showing our love for God, for our fellow man, for our brethren, we are laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How do we know where someone's treasures are being laid up? We know by what his interests are. How do we know what our interests are? How do I know where my heart is? And that's what I mean by our interest. Well, I know that by what I think about, what I talk about, how I spend my leisure time, how I spend my money, what I'm doing with my life. That's how I know where my heart is. My treasure is where my heart is. That's what Jesus is saying. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And how I know if I'm laying up for myself treasures in heaven? It's because I'm thinking about heavenly things. When my mind is in neutral, we might say, and I don't have anything pressing that I've got to think about, where does my mind go and what do I think about? Well, it's where my interest is where my heart is. Do I think about heavenly things? Do I think about spiritual? What about what I talk about? In my conversations, think about your conversations with people. What do I normally talk about when I'm in conversations with others? We usually talk about what we're interested in. And if I find myself very rarely ever talking about spiritual things, that should say something about where my heart is. That tells me where my treasures are. What about how I spend my leisure time? When I've got some leisure time, and we all have some, then how do I spend that time? Do I focus in, okay, can I use this now maybe more in study of the Bible? I want to use this time maybe to go to visit a sister or a brother in Christ who's sick, or to go talk to my neighbor about Jesus. How do I spend my money? Compare how much you spend on the luxurious things of life, or the pleasures of life, not the necessities, but the pleasures of life, compare that with how much, let's say, you give on the first day of the week. How much you maybe spend for things that relate to your spiritual growth and the spiritual growth of others. What am I doing with my life? That tells me where my heart is. That tells me where my treasures are being laid up. Where are you laying up for yourselves treasures? Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where your thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I want to leave you with one final point, and that is, if we live our lives as Jesus in this passage is teaching us, then we're going to be entirely different from the people around us. You know, the world focuses in generally on making more and more materially. Well, we will focus in more in our life in preparing for heaven. While others are concerned about climbing the corporate ladder, we will be focusing on climbing the spiritual ladder. While the primary goal of our fellow worker is to get that promotion, we're ones who are willing to turn down that promotion in order to increase our efforts to promote the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be different. We're not going to act like many in the world, like those of the world act. We're going to look different. And we need to realize that. And if I see myself as having the same goals that every other fellow worker of mine has, and that is to make more money and to just climb that ladder so that I can enjoy life more, then I have tapped into the American dream as I think it is really being played out today. And as I stated earlier, the Christian should have no part in the American dream. And that is to make material possessions, the enjoyment of this life, pleasures of this life, your primary goal. Jesus is saying, don't do that. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures here upon this earth. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures here upon this earth. But lay for yourselves treasures in heaven. Each of us has to take inventory of our own lives. And where we may see that greed and that covetousness and that desire for the things of this life, and that becomes our focus, we need to rub it out. We need to get rid of that. Make the changes in our heart. I mean, I've seen this in myself as I take inventory of my heart in my life, where I'm not willing to give up certain things. And I'll tell you, it scares me when I think about how I may be holding on and not willing to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven because I have my primary focus is on my material possessions here. But I need to rub it out, get rid of that, in order that I might place my focus on heaven, laying up for my treasures there. If there are any here this morning who need to respond to the invitation of our Lord, it may be that you have been emphasizing material things, laying up for yourselves treasures here on earth. Then repent, change your heart. Go to God in prayer as a Christian and ask God to forgive you and then get in there and start laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. It may be that there are some here who've never become a Christian. You've never begun the life of Christ, of a Christian. You've never been born again. Well, you can begin that life now by making the commitment to come to Jesus, denying self, taking up your cross, and following Him. And now start laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven so that you can enjoy those treasures. Enjoy eternal life when you come to the end of your life. You can have that. But you must come. If you need to come, we encourage you to come in faith, believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of all your sins, confess your faith, and then be baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of sins. The Lord will save you. If you're subject to that invitation, please come as we stand and sing.